Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Mark Brennan. Go by SEC, Mike, go on Twitter. Hey, we're dressed alike. Cousin Shane, everybody's favorite cousin. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, I'll tell you what's going on. We got spring football.
Hell yeah, we do. Real football, Mike. You know what I'm saying? It's been so long. I love it. Even Shane Beamer was up there earlier on the podium. He was just talking about it. He goes, we ain't talking about NIL. We ain't talking recruiting. We're talking football, baby.
Yeah, so it got me thinking.
Yeah.
You know, who stands to gain the most and who stands to perhaps the opposite, stands to lose the most, if you will, this spring practice. So a little teaser for what I want to talk about. I got a couple here. I'm curious to hear your thoughts, but we got basketball going on right now. I didn't even realize till right when we popped on, Chad. I'm used to these games tipping off right now.
Yeah,
apparently they tipped off about an hour ago. So again, there's less than two games, but I'm still trying to figure out the basketball schedule.
Hey, I tell you, brother, it's just I get it. It's coming to an end, right? This is I think sent five different highlight reels of March Madness. I'm ready for it. You know what I'm saying? And then you go outside, it's absolutely gorgeous, right? The weather gods have blessed us finally. And on top of that, we got time change coming up. So it's back to regular time. So I'm ready for a full day of sunshine, man. And I'm ready for spring. I'm ready for basketball. Anything you throw at me, it's a great time of year, cuz.
Well, I don't know about that. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You said anything I throw at you.
Uh-oh.
You promised.
Yeah.
Did you go out and walk?
Yeah. I walked out there. No, I did. Here's the thing. I'm not going to jumble up excuses, but, I've got
you wait April Fools or something.
No. I've got it. And I knew it was going to come up. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to make a vow. I'm going to make an absolute promise with you here. I owe this podcast, I think, 12 miles, if I'm not mistaken, right? Maybe 10. I have to fact check. It's one of them. But you and I, we're going to be going to Nashville. Huh?
You're going to start accruing interest on these miles.
I'm making a promise right here, Mike. If I do not get... how many miles is it? Is it 10 or 12?
Let's just make it 12.
Okay, 12. I'm going to be going to Nashville next Friday, right? And if I don't have those 12 miles done by that date, the first five donations that we receive, I will each give $100.
Ooh.
So... and it don't have to be a big donation. You could do a dollar. I don't care. But the first five donations we get, screenshot them. If I don't have the miles put in by next Friday, each one of you are getting $100 bills from this guy.
So they're getting the money. That's what I took from that.
Yeah, they could. They could. I'm just saying. I'm going to do it. I'm going to say 12, but it may be. I hope it's 10. But I will have them done before midnight Thursday. So by, what's today?
This isn't like homework. You can't just start on Wednesday night.
And I want to be, I may die. Not so. Remember, we'll be in Nashville next. I'm coming in Thursday, so we'll be there next Friday. So by then, I will have those done. So like I said, first $5, $1 donations. I don't give a shit. Whoever, just to prove that you're here, I'm going to give you $100 back if I do not do it.
Well, like Cousin Mike has said here, we've seen you put the Fitbit on the dog. So we've seen trick.
No, Mike sent me a camera for this. He sent me a literal camera for this. To go.
Ball Tiger says Shane would rather pay than walk.
I got a GoPro, and I'm going to time-lapse it and also take a picture of my watch. So I see two donations up, three donations. So here they are. They're piling in. It's a good bet.
Yeah, they don't stand to lose much. You know what?
Oh, no, no. That's absolutely. I appreciate it, cuz. So we got, what, three? There's four. JS, and we got one more. One more is going to be the lucky contestant here. Could be. I mean, you're not, because I'm going to get my miles in, but you could be the contestant. And I got a GoPro just for this. Freaking Mike says, I want proof.
No fake sweat like the last time.
No.
That?
No. Yeah.
I watched this man almost die, and people didn't believe that he did it.
Dude, I still walk wrong because of that. You know what I'm saying? I think I permanently did damage to my left foot, but whatever. It was worth it. It was worth it.
Hey, but, well, we haven't heard you discuss Paint and Sip lately. I know they had it not too long ago at Tennessee Legend.
But oh, there it is.
I wanted to share this with you that I haven't even told you this.
Yeah.
Shane, shout out SEC Maverick. I hope he's in here. He did his own paint and sip, and he sent it to me, and I thought it was a pretty good job. I told him I'd show it. So he painted this off. He said he got inspired from looking at his koozie there. So I just want to shout out SEC Maverick, and he said he did his own paint and sip. I think he did a hell of a job.
That looks almost photocopied. I mean, that's how good it is. Either he's a really good artist, or he is another Cousin Shane in the making.
Or he was lying. He had not drank enough Tennessee Legend that day.
That's,
you know
it. That's it. So, hey, hell yeah, cuz. I appreciate that. And I'll tell you what, them paint sips are fun. If you ever get over to Tennessee, you don't have to do that, right? It's something that they do. They try to do once a month. They're going to be trying to ramp it up now that season's starting to pick up there in the Smokies. But if you do want to swing in and see our cousins, be sure to let them know that you're a fan of the show, and they will give you a massive discount and a bonus gift. And I tell you what, the gift is that Tennessee Legend Distiller. I tell you, brother, there ain't been a bad bottle sent this way. So if you want to, you always do this. You're always going on vacation and you're like, I forgot Aunt Jan or something, you know? Yeah. You're like, let's get her some an old smoke. No, forget that. Hit Tennessee Legend. It's on your way out. It's a wonderful place, and you'll absolutely love the folks that are there.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, and I shouldn't even tell you about this, Shane, but apparently, yeah. Shout out Cousin Jared. He says you could film it. You could just speed up the GoPro. Makes it look like you walked.
That's why I'm going. I have a theory. So you know what park I'm going to be going to. So I thought if
Mike says the only gift we want is them miles.
I got it. I'm thinking about parking on the end, right?
And yeah.
Because I don't want to leave a GoPro like out, because listen, I ain't quick. If somebody's over there,
no one's going theirs. Over there.
It's no pro. It's gone. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So I want to put it in the truck, like in the window, but I'm going to have it face so you can see me doing the actual laps. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I will time lapse the video, because nobody's got 45 minutes to sit there and watch Shane do 2 miles, you know? So
I can vow no one's going to steal that thing. I went to that park every day. I think I ran into 2 people in 6 months.
Mike, what would be worse? Doing the miles and having it stolen, or just put in, you know what I'm saying? Or just doing the miles, you know what I'm saying? I feel like that would be even worse as if I did the 2 miles and then I had no way to prove it. No way you guys would believe me. Absolutely no way.
I might just drive down there and steal it while you're doing it.
Yeah. They'd be like, why is he setting this? There may be a cousin here. But yeah, I know what park you're talking about.
All right, Shane, we got to get on with the show here.
Yeah.
We're about 10 minutes in. We haven't done any SEC. So, hey, big news here.
Okay.
Out of the SEC, Mitch Barnhart, the longest tenured AD in the conference, is retiring up at Kentucky. Now, this is, he's well-respected. He's hired Calipari, hired Mark Stoops, obviously Will Stein, now Mark Pope. So, you know, he's done some good things, but he's been kind of against NIL and paying players, yeah. And that's not going to cut it in today's modern age. But again, this is a long tenured guy. I'm not saying he's a bad AD, but, right. You know, it's an end of an era. You know what I mean?
Papo had a good run, didn't he? He had a good hell of a run. I remember him fighting that alcohol like crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that was another thing he hated.
Yeah, yeah. Kroger has alcohol, but no, not the fans. So I just think that it's time, right? We're starting a new. I feel like top down every sport almost. Kentucky just needs a hard reset, and that starts with the AD. Had a good time, but we. Is there a list? I know it's really soon, but is there?
Well, any here's candidates? The thing. Here's the thing.
Oh God!
Now this is when it gets really crazy, right?
Yeah.
So he's retiring, but he's staying on till 2030, and he's making damn near $1 million, $950,000. He's going to make till 2030. He gets 10 lifetime tickets. For football, basketball, and baseball games of his, you know, all the games.
Yeah.
He gets his insurance and he gets a country club membership for life. So just point being, Shane, it must be nice to be these administrators that, you know, they bitch about, well, we can't pay the players, but we're retired and we're making $1 million those tickets are probably worth an extra million, and God, who knows what that country club's, it ain't going to be cheap, you know, but he's getting all that paid for. So Kentucky fans are pissed about that.
He drew up the contract, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just said, I think I'm going to take that offer. You know, sounds like the kind of offer I hope to make one day on this podcast, you know, like Mike, I'm retiring in 5 years and this is what I want. But yeah, that's very comical. What about like decisions? Did it, any type of decisions, or he's just ghosting the halls here?
Well, I think he's going to be sticking around to try to help with the new hire of an AD.
Yeah.
So who knows with that, but this is, you know, goes along with, I wanted to ask you, we haven't had you on since this became news, that Mark Stoops is joining Texas staff. And again, this is the AD that gave him that contract, all the guaranteed money, and even more foolish, Shane.
Yeah.
So Stoops got like a $37 million buyout.
Yeah.
It's none of it is mitigated, which means he gets to double up. So Texas is probably not paying him much because they don't have to.
Right.
But let's say he makes, I mean, conservatively, like $300,000. He just gets that on top of the $37 million that Kentucky's already paying him, thanks to Mitch Barnhart. But I say all that to ask you, any thoughts on Mark Stoops going down to Texas?
Good. You know? And I'm going to tell you why, Mike. The first thing that popped in my mind was actually the joke you made online about the Texas A&M great. You know what I'm saying? And I go back to that conversation and the deal at hand. And I go back even further about, you know, we said Stoops just needs an opportunity, right? Put him in one of these places and he'll recruit his ass off. Say what you want. Coach Stoops is a really good coach, right? I mean, for what Kentucky has and where they were, you got to remember where Kentucky was. The reason that he got fired is because Stoops literally created the standards to get fired there in Lexington, right?
Yeah. Winningest coach, more wins than Bear Bryant.
I'm just saying, man. So I find it comical that he's going to Texas, right? But more importantly, what a home run hire. For Sarkisian, you got a guy that you can throw stuff against. You got a guy that you can brainstorm with. I'm not saying that Coach Stoops is going to have a massive role in this program, but he is a tool that you can use. He's a hell of a recruiter. And I'll tell you what, Stoops, with now he's got all this house money. Jeez. I mean, who knows the amount of success that he can help Texas bring down there. And I know it's just special teams role, but it's more than that. It's about just being there. You got to remember there's kids in high school right now that he was actively recruiting. He was sitting in the locker room, or the living room. You know what I'm saying? That is information that he'll be able to bring to Sarkisian and say, you know what? You remember I told you I couldn't promise you too much? You want a Lambo? Yeah, no, come on down.
So let me ask you.
Yeah.
I mean, you're all roses over here.
Yeah.
I figured. You're just like a Steven Jr. over here. If Texas fires Sarkisian,
yeah,
who's going to be interim head coach? Is it Stoops or Muschamp?
Oh,
it's got to be Stoops, don't you think?
I don't know. I would, yeah, probably.
So we could be sitting here, Stoops coaching against A&M as Texas head coach. How amazing would that be?
Could be a random backup running back coach, though, you know? Sark's taking them all with him or something. So, yeah, that's a good question, but hopefully one we don't have to answer anytime soon.
Oh, interim would be Arch, of course, Arch Manning.
Oh, right. That makes sense. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been kidding, but, yeah, you add a guy with he's got more head coaching experience in this conference than literally anybody in the conference, including Kirby Smart. So it's hard to see this being a bad thing, but I don't know, too many cooks in the kitchen, Shane. Who knows? You know what?
I just don't think that's the attitude Stoops is going to have, you know? I think he's going to have a little bit of a Barnhart in him, like, now I'm getting the country club membership, right? You know? I feel like, but could you imagine, and I'm not saying he's going to come in there drunk, but, you know, he's probably going to party a little more than he used to. And you know what I'm saying?
We've all seen him at the bar smoking a cigarette.
He's the life of the party, right? And now he's got, yeah, I mean, the girls are going to know he's got $30 million in the bank. You know what I'm saying? Can't keep him off of him.
That doesn't jive with Sarkisian. I mean, he can't be drinking around him.
But maybe Sark lives through him, you know? He can't do it, but... Tell me what you did last night, coach. You know, we all got that guy. We're all married here, you know. And I was my buddy. He has a saying. He goes, "Well, I may be in jail, but I mean, I can't look outside the bars every now and then." You know.
Well, all right. I don't know how to transition from that, but one other one. I thought this was pretty interesting. Mississippi State, Shane. So they have added former Tulsa head coach and Auburn offensive coordinator Phillip Montgomery as receivers coach. So, again, you're getting a experience. Jeff Lebby, I think he needs all the help he can get. I think this is a good move. And Phillip Montgomery worked with him during the heyday of Baylor under Art Briles a couple of years ago. So, knows the system. And this was a guy that Hugh Freeze brought in, and then by the end of the year, they had to go their separate ways. I blame, you can guess who I blame on that one. But Mississippi State, I think they, as spring is kicking off here, I think they're getting a good coach here. And particularly, you get a former successful head coach as a position coach, you can't do much better than that.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about it a lot of times, mainly with players, right? Experience matters. Hell, we did a segment with the offensive lineman, but experience also helps, you know, in and outside that locker room. So a coaching staff that went through a few growing pains last year, it felt like, you know, hell, the season before, what could it hurt? You know, I hear some of these coaches when they talk about a new guy coming in, the first thing they like to do is sit down and say, hey, how did you like to do it? You know, because if you're not growing, you're not learning, you're not improving. So I feel like when you can bring something like that from the outside, it can only help the or your business, you know?
Right, right.
Or football team. I don't know why it calls business. Sorry.
Well, it is nothing but business down in Gainesville, Shane, where they have kicked off spring practice. Mm-hmm. And Shane got fired up. He sent me all these clips. Yeah. But I like this one most of all, Shane. This John Sumrall.
Yeah.
He loves him practice.
You mentioned excitement for the players day one. But for you, first spring football practice as the head football coach at the University of Florida, what was it like?
It's freaking awesome. I love it. Like, dude, I had a hard time sleeping last night. Like, I woke up at like 3 o'clock and then 3:30 and then 4 o'clock. I'm like, well, I guess I'll just get up. I love football from the jump. Like, I don't care if we're practicing at University of Florida or wherever. I was excited to be at football practice because I love football. That's why I'm a football coach. I didn't get into football coaching. I make pretty good money now. I got into coaching making like $12,000 a year. I thought I was the richest guy in the world. Man, I had a freaking blast, like, every day. Like, I just love football. I actually love football practice as much as the games. Like, because I tell people all the time, practice days, those are my days. Like, that's where I coach. Game days, those are for the players, man. And yeah, we coach, but like on game day, I'm deciding when we call timeout, like, and when we're going to take a shot play over the top or zero blitz on defense. The coordinators are making those decisions, but I'm helping them calculate it. Practice, man, I freaking love practice. And then getting to do it at the University of Florida, I'm still like on cloud nine a little bit, the fact I'm here. You know, every day that I come into the building and I put my thumbprint on the deal and it lets me open the door, I'm pretty fired up. So exciting day for me, exciting day for our team. You know, we have unbelievable facilities.
Man, he's on cloud nine being mm-hmm. a damn practice. You know what?
He's the opposite of Iverson. Like, we'll talk about practice. I love it, you know?
But he's 100% right. And this is when you got to get in here and first spring practice. You know, it's so crucial for development of a new program, and but particularly at a place like Florida.
Yeah.
They're not going to give you any more. You know, we'll see what happens year three, year four. They've got the talent.
Yeah,
and they were just missing the coaching last year. I still think they got the talent. So I think, you know, there's pressure to deliver immediately, don't you think?
I think so, right? But, man, you could just tell Summerall's in a good spot right now. I mean, and now that may wear out, you know, after a third loss or something. You know, he may not be as chipper about practice and you know, the place he's at, because with the Florida Gators comes expectations that they've not hit in a long time, right? And I feel like when you commit that much money to this guy, I feel like all chips are on the table. This is it. This is our dude. It has to be. I definitely know the AD's feeling that pressure as well. So it will be coming. But with that, Mike, I feel like because he talked a lot about leadership. This was just a breath of fresh air listening to Coach Summerall talk as opposed to Billy Napier. I was listening to our boy, the man with the golden hair, asking questions. I mean, he was on cloud nine. Finally, a little life up there behind the podium. But I feel like that is working its way down. You know, he talks about leadership on this football team. And I just feel like, because that was the question we had when he took the job, what was the culture like in that locker room? And I feel like that's what got addressed. And you could tell with Coach here, if he's this damn pumped up, you know those kids are as well.
Hmm. Man, you love coach speak all of a sudden.
Yeah, I'm in. Hook, line, sinker.
Well, let me ask you, because everybody's always looking for the now, and I don't think this is going to happen, but
yeah.
Everybody's looking for the next Indiana. We're going to hear that a billion times before the season comes along. And I know I'm not saying Florida's the next Indiana, but is it not a really bad look for Florida and some of these teams that have championship aspirations that have proven they can win championships, and then you got a freaking Indiana comes in here and dominates their conference and dominates college football playoff, that, you know, I've heard of, like, Kentucky people are like, why can't we do it? Like,
yeah,
that times a million at Florida. Like, why the hell have we not done it the last 10 years? I just think it's like, man, what the hell have we been doing that we are not the one that is, because I think Florida has the potential to be that Indiana type team.
You know, possibly, right? But you're talking lightning in a bottle with Indiana. I mean, we assumed when they opened up this NIL stuff, right? When the transfer portal cranked up, we're like, oh shit, here goes Oregon, right?
Yeah.
You know, Texas is going to win every single year. This is how it goes. Texas Tech now. I mean, that one's another one. They got all that money invested. How many championship rings did they get? You know, so I feel like, yes, ultimately, any school with money can have the opportunity to bring in or field the best on three recruiting class, right? But at the end of the day, Mike, it's putting it together. And Indiana was able to do that, what not only with the portal, but with in my opinion, true leaders within that locker room already, right? That you know, Coach Summerall talks about it, even though it's Coach Speak, Mike, I like it. You know, he goes, a good team can't be a great team unless the players lead it. And I feel like that it's a combination. You can have the talent, but there's got to be a little bit drive from within that locker room to take it to the next level.
Speaking of drive, geez, Luis, maybe Shea needs a walking coach.
Yeah.
Jared says, with their budget, maybe a walking analyst. He could be down there as a walking
analyst. Oh, shit. I like that Billy Lucci comment because after he said, now I can only hear Billy Lucci when he talks. So.
Right. And then one more. I thought this was maybe a little bit better because I think a lot of people assume, not Gator fans, but I think other fans probably assume, Shane, that after they added the Georgia Tech transfer quarterback Aaron Filo and they added the Georgia Tech offensive coordinator Buster Faulkner, oh, okay, this is their guy, right? So
yeah. We're
just going to anoint him. But they got Tremel Jones down there, a freshman. He didn't play a ton, but he did play last season. And the way I understand it, he has kind of become the leader of the offense. So I think this is a true quarterback competition. Here's Summerall on it. I thought this was pretty good.
Do you want to have a starting quarterback at the end of spring? Someone who's kind of emerged and kind of just heading into the offseason that people are...
Do I want to have one named?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's kind of understood, like, this is probably going to be the guy, or that's just something you're going to wait all the way through fall camp.
I don't ever put a timeline on it. You know, like, when I took the job at Tulane, I wanted to have one named sooner than later, and I named one, like, a week before the first game, and it was the last guy everybody thought it was going to be. So I don't really have a timeline. I don't decide who starts, believe it or not. They do, by how they practice. Like, everybody thinks, like, oh, you made a decision to start this guy. Like, I really don't make the decision. They do, by how they practice. If they quarterbacks lead well, protect the football, and create explosive plays on offense and direct and command at the line of scrimmage, pretty good chance you could be the starter. If you turn the ball over, you don't lead well, you don't communicate well at the line of scrimmage, those sort of things, then you're probably not going to be the starter. So I don't have a timeline for it. Yeah, if we had an incumbent starter, that'd be really nice and easy and clean. We don't. I'm okay with that. I'm really comfortable with that. I've been here and done that before. We'll let the guys compete, and they're competing with each other, not against each other. You know,
what are your early impressions?
Good question from Liquid. How long before your coach, you get tired of him referencing his last two jabs?
Yeah, I'm already over it. Well, Tulane's all right, but Troy is like, come on, man. Come on. I don't care how many fields they got.
But yeah, so I think this is a true quarterback competition. I don't think we should assume. Now, that could change. You know, by the end of spring, one could be clearly in the lead. But I think the way college football is now, you just don't really name a starter.
No.
I don't think there's any benefit to doing it. I think you always, even if it is almost decided, being like, well, we'll see what they do in the summer. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I know coach speak, right? Billy Napier was the king of it. He'll tell you. I really don't think he knows right now who the quarterback's. He opens up about the injuries and everything later in this conversation. He's just very transparent. Now, that may change. Get a little more calloused around the SEC, you know, but as of right now, I truly think that we've got us a little competition down here.
Mm-hmm. All right, and then the only other one that spoke today, South Carolina, I didn't think anything kind of, nothing worth really sharing much, in my opinion, on this one, but some rough news here, Shane. Huh? Offensive tackle Josiah Thompson out for the season. So this is already the second offensive tackle that is out for the Gamecocks. Thompson out for the year. Peak, Jacarius Peak, the touted transfer they got, you know, he's out for the spring. We don't know when he will return. They say he will be back at some point. So that's kind of led me to kind of the show topic here, Shane. We're South Carolina. We desperately, desperately, desperately need to protect Lenore Sellers better. And we got a new offense coming in, new offensive line coach. Now we're trying to put these pieces together, and now we're already down two offensive tackles. So that this is like case in point. Where I'm not saying the season's over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's freaking March 3rd here. But this is a huge red flag, and this is something that, you know, I was hoping we get an answer, you know, by the end of spring, being like, damn, these tackles, buddy, this is a new Gamecock, you know what I mean? But instead, it's the opposite, where we're down to two offensive tackles. I don't even know if we had a good one to begin with. So this could be potentially devastating for South Carolina.
Yeah, one happens, you're like, okay, but you know what I'm saying? And then you start questioning strength and conditioning coaches, and, you know, because that usually is the next conversation, especially if you know, we haven't even made it to season, Mike. What happens in October? What happens in November, right, when it gets late in the season?
I just pray that Thompson didn't get hurt playing basketball, you know?
Oh, my gosh. I hate it for him. I hate it because, it was a strong talk, but, you know, I used to have a chair out here on the patio, Mike, mm-hmm. and I'll never forget. I sat in it one day, and I heard a little pop, right? It's just one pop, but I was like, ooh, you know? Next time I'm coming in that chair, I'm feeling like I better be careful, you know what I'm saying? Second pop, it's like, you know what, maybe I shouldn't sit here no more. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not saying that it's going to implode, but I am saying the competitive depth that Lenore Sellers absolutely needs trying to learn this new offense, I feel like, you know, the last thing we need is that, right? Because how are you going to have a new South Carolina football team if you have, again, no offensive lineman protecting your quarterback?
Mm-hmm. And one other thing, this was kind of noteworthy, but I don't think I need to play the clip, but Beamer did note this will be Sellers' third offense in three seasons. Mm-hmm. And that is another red flag for me. Again, I'm not saying he can't handle it, but, is that a pro or is that a con? Because he spun it as a pro, getting to the NFL, you're going to have to change offenses perhaps all the time. But in a kind of like a do or die year, I don't know if that's such a good thing. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't. I feel like a little continuity is important. Now, Coach also did talk about returning a lot of coaching staff, right? Now, they're obviously, so, you know, you're talking OC and stuff, but, you know, I feel like when you got a guy like Lenore Sellers, you don't come in and just change everything. You ask him you find out what he's good at and what he's not, right? And then you build your offense around your Heisman-winning quarterback. So Briles has been doing this a long, long time, and I doubt he's just going to change everything immediately. He's going to make it easier, but, you know, this is the time to get those systems implemented. So there's a lot of learning going on this spring.
Yeah, but do you think it is fair to say, again, things can change,
mm-hmm.
but day one in the spring, I think I'm already stocked down on Carolina, where I had them entering spring.
It's not going the right way, is it?
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Now, again, maybe they got two guys that we don't even know who they are yet, and they're like,
yeah,
I can't, these guys can play. You know, I mean, that's...
Those two's what... Yeah, they weren't even starters, you know?
I mean, that happens too, you know? Yeah. So that's kind of where I wanted to go on this episode. Oh, and one other, I just thought this was hilarious. We don't have a clip. It was... from the, these coaches, they go around and they do like speaking engagements and all this. Yeah. We got Silver Fox here. Arkansas will have the most intelligent team in college football. We're going to have the best GPA Ooh. In program history. We will be prepared. Do you like your coach talking about how good the GPA is going to be?
No, I don't care how smart my kids are. I just want them to win national championships, man.
But a smarter hog maybe is a better hog.
I don't know. I don't know. Is this still school? Are we still doing this? I'm joking. I mean, obviously, school's important, kids. You should do it, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, at this level, we're...
What was your GPA?
It was up there. It was up there. Oh, wait, no, that's, what is the drinking?
that's completely different. Blood alcohol level.
I immediately got put on probation at the University of Tennessee when I showed up, right? So.
And then the other one he had, which is, this is more troubling to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the sentiment here, right? But he says, we're telling our guys to get off their phones, get off the Instagram, get off the TikTok. Get off the stupid dating apps. Instead, we're watching film, getting prepared. Yeah. I mean, God. What year is it, Shane? I mean, are you going to get these kids off their phone?
No, I can't get my, I mean, I can't imagine. You can't. These kids live on their phone. Hell, I live on my phone. You know what I'm saying? So telling these guys to do that is a part of their lives. They're not going to do it. They'll tell you what you need to hear, but I don't know, man. Stuff like that, just, it feels like it creates a little separation because now they're going to do it, but not, you know, they're going to skip this or they're going to hide it from here. So I don't want that. I'm like, this, we are who we are. And social media, if anything, Mike, I would spin it the opposite way. Use social media. Nobody's talking about Arkansas, right? And if you could get more behind the scenes on Instagram or TikTok or anything like that, that would be pretty damn cool right now. You know how many videos I saw at practice this today in Florida Gators? Zero. Now, I heard coach talk, but I didn't see any practice. Now, if Arkansas starts showing practice and starts showing drills and stuff like that, guess what? I'm going to tune in. I want to see what Arkansas looks like this year. So I spin it on you, coach. Do the smart thing and open it up.
Mm-hmm. And again, this wasn't a press conference or anything.
Yeah.
For all I know, Shane, this was, and I would assume, right? It's probably like the booster people.
Yeah.
I don't want to judge, but it's probably the older Arkansas fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he may just be telling them what he thinks they want to hear. You know, our kids are GPA, no phones, all this, that, and the other.
Well, that's different.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt there. But if this is really where his heart's at, you know, GPA, we're gonna nail it, and we're not gonna be dating.
If the back two rows is reserved for scooters, then I understand the conversation that was just made. I feel like I'm at the Stampede, you know?
So I already discussed South Carolina in offensive line. That'll be stock up, stock down, right, for them.
Yeah.
And I just figured, you know, are there any others that stand out to you? And, I mean, you can do offensive line for a lot of teams. I have a couple, so I'll hold off on that. But another one I think you really got to consider this spring, Shane?
Yeah.
How about Tennessee? With this new Jim Knowles defense, I think one of the weakest position groups on Tennessee, basically the entire Heupel era, has been safety.
Yeah.
I think you would agree with that.
Yep.
And in this new Jim Knowles system, they like to run three safeties on the field. I don't think Tennessee's had two capable safeties, like I said, in years. Now, again, they've hit the portal. They've added TJ Metcalf from Michigan, DeJuan Lane from Penn State, DJ Brooks from Appalachian State. So I'm not saying they don't have safeties, but that is a position that for me will be stock up, stock down for Tennessee if we find out they don't have capable safeties for this system.
Yes, yes. But it's Jim Knowles' game, right? And what I do have faith in or stock up in is him, right? Because I look at track record. I look at what he's been able to do on that side of the football, and that's why I don't know. I'm a little more optimistic than maybe it wasn't that we didn't have safeties. Maybe they just weren't in the right place. Maybe they weren't properly coached. You know, that's some along those lines. That's, I'm trying to be optimistic here in the spring about my Tennessee Vols.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, I guess if he's a magician, Shane, he'll just come in there and he'll be 98 again. You know what I mean? But you got to have players. I think that's, you're at Ohio State, your defense looks good, right?
Yeah.
You're at Penn State, your defense looks dog shit. Why? Because you don't got the players that you had at Ohio State, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's what it is.
I guess, right? Mike, you know, I'm not going to argue with you here. I'm going to let you have this one, but we all know that Tennessee's going to look not day different than they did last season.
Hey, shout out Growth the Mindset. He said Napier had a 3.6 GPA last year. Where'd that get him?
Yeah. It's never good when coaches start, you know, it's usually late in their career and they're
when they're losing about, and they're like, well, there are a lot of good things.
We graduated more kids in about 5 years that I've been here, then it's like, oh, no.
Now, again, this is not, Jimmy says spring is the time for optimism. This is not meant to be negative. I'm saying if we find out, like you're saying, maybe they've got some outstanding safeties, but they just were not able to showcase it in a Tim Banks defense.
Yeah.
You know, so like if we come out of spring, we're like, good God, they got some safeties. All of a sudden, I'm saying, damn, Tennessee underrated.
Champions of life, baby. That's right. Once you start breaking those out, you know it's time to break out a new coach search. So,
all right, how about for Ole Miss? This is another one I was thinking about, Shane.
Yeah,
I mean we're all fired up, right? We got Trinidad back, we've got Lacey back, maybe the best quarterback running back combo in the country. It probably is the best combo in the country. We've got a lot of things to be excited about. And I know we've hit the portal, but we lost some receivers, Shane, to the draft, and we lost Caden Lee to Missouri. I think I'll be kind of stock up, stock down on Ole Miss this spring based on what I hear about the receivers. Because as good as Trinidad has been, again, as good as Lacey has been, if the receivers don't do their part, I'm a little concerned that our offense could take a big step back.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how could it not, Mike? You know, you didn't bring everybody back. You didn't bring them on offense and defense. And I feel like, you know, it's not like the old days, like the 80s and 90s. You were joking about that, but it's the truth. You could see, okay, hey, man, we had a lot of juniors doing this. We had a lot of sophomores doing this. We're going to be fine here in the next couple of years. We're set. It's not like that anymore when half your team leaves and you get a new half a roster. So with this revolving door, you know, if you miss on something, you miss on that offensive line, you miss with your quarterback, you miss with your wide receivers, then it shows up, brother. This is not a repeat. But then again, there's a lot of Ole Miss receivers that have came out here the last couple of seasons that I didn't know going in was going to have any talent. You know what I'm saying? Was right. That a product of Lane Kiffin? Possibly. But was it a product of the success that Ole Miss as a team has had? That's also a possibility. So I'm not panicking right now by no means.
And nor should you. But I will be panicked, Shane, if they start slow because, you know, there's not a lot of time here to ramp up to speed. We got Louisville, yeah. which is a solid threat in Nashville. Charlotte, that'll be a joke. But then LSU at Florida. Mm-hmm. And even at Vanderbilt, obviously they were historically good last year. Missouri and at Texas, I mean, there's not going to be a lot of room for starting slow here for Ole Miss.
Would you say Ole Miss? I'm looking at this. Other than maybe LSU, do you think Ole Miss has the toughest first four games of the season? I know Texas has Ohio State, but then they got a lot of fluff around there. It seemed like. I can't really remember.
Texas, no, it's, I mean, that's,
I mean,
it's
Tennessee.
Not easy, yeah. To be sure. Ole Miss is up there.
Yeah, and then LSU, I say, would be the other one because you got Clemson.
How about this one, Oklahoma? Out. At Michigan, at Georgia, but yeah. Two cupcakes in there.
Yeah, but I just look at Ole Miss like you got Louisville, which can beat you, you know? They got three, in my opinion. Ole Miss has got three. Two really tough and one really good opponent. Not Florida.
No, I think you're onto something here.
Yeah, so, yeah, you're right. And which, I mean, it's awesome that you have Trinidad back, right? But there's a whole, but it's not just Trinidad. You got to have, yeah.
Hey, well, speaking of them suitors, how about this for a position group? That I think will be kind of, you know, I'll be stock up or stock down based on what I hear from them, and for me it's the running game,
mm-hmm.
Because again we, you know, there was a lot to like about the offense in year one, John Mateer, you know, the highlight of it before he got hurt, Ben Arbuckle, but I just don't think we're going to have a ton of success if once again we're just. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but shout out George Stoya again, Sooner Scoop. He does an outstanding job. He did a recent article that I read on just the usage rate, I think is the term he used, something like that. But essentially, how much of the offense goes through your quarterback? And you don't want 80% of it going through your quarterback, because if he goes down, you're screwed, basically. And we saw that, right? So we need someone else to step up, and with the offensive line being a little bit more experience. We do got some talent at running back. But if we exit the spring and it's like, oh, we can't run the damn football. I know Oklahoma's good on defense, but if we can't run the football, I'll be a little stocked down on the Sooners.
Yeah, good. I mean, and you should be, Mike. But, you know, I always think of Venables, especially like defensive coaches. What does a defensive coach love more than defense? A good running game, you know? Why? Because that keeps his defense off the football field. So you know Venables wants a good running game. You know Sooners miss a good running game. They address it with the new coaching hires. They talk about it constantly, fixing this running game. So we all know what's been a problem. So I think that's why they've been so strategic in what they've selected, especially in the portal in the offseason. And I feel like the Sooners get back to more of a balanced attack this season. But if it's the same or even worse, God forbid, then yeah, I could see where you could go stock down on the Sooners.
You make Mateer run laps if he's running Mateer the football.
Mateer shouldn't be running anywhere. He should be saving them legs right now.
maybe he needs you as a coach on how not to.
Yeah.
walk.
Maybe, I see the comments. Maybe Dr. Shin can help me walk. You
know? All right, how about LSU, Shane? Again, I'm trying not to say offensive line for everybody here, but yeah. I think it's just hugely important for LSU after last season, what a train wreck they were on the offensive line. I realize this doesn't really have anything to do with this year, with the new coaching staff, a completely new offensive line led by Jordan Seaton, the former outstanding Colorado transfer at left tackle. So they got new pieces.
Yeah.
But where I'm concerned about him, Shane, is I'm not a big fan of the coach, Eric Wolford, the offensive line coach.
Yeah.
He was at Kentucky the last 2 years. Tell me how that went. Remember, we used to be the big blue wall before he took over. He was at Alabama before that. And wouldn't you know it, Shane, that's when our offense went in a damn tank as well. Kiffin made a lot of good hires this offseason, but I think the one that he is, I don't want to say the worst because that's probably not fair, but the one I liked the most was the offensive line coach, Eric Wolford. So the fact that you got an entirely new offense, new offensive line coach, new offensive lineman, you know, sometimes you can't just throw five in there and they just click, you know?
Yeah, no, I get it. But I feel like, though, we'll be comparing it against last year, right? And so I feel like there should be improvement. Like, odds are it's going to look better up front because of, you know, Lane Kiffin especially. And here's the deal, too. Lane Kiffin knows if offensive line's a problem, he's going to – scheme not I, you can't really scheme around offensive linemen, but you know what I'm saying, he's going to focus on what they're really good at, and he's going to keep away from what they're really bad at. That's one thing schematically that Lane Kiffin has been notorious for doing, is finding what works and like leaning into it. So if it's not the running game, if it's not the, don't expect it. But I'm not panicking over the coach hire, just because, again, I'll be comparing it to the 25 season. But I will say this, LSU has the toughest four games. I forgot about A&M there week four. That's got to be the answer. Clemson, Ole Miss, and A&M.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now that second four.
But again, if the offense, let's say the offensive line doesn't hit its stride till October.
Yeah.
We may lose a couple.
Well, that's the problem. You know, because sometimes you don't realize you have a shitty offensive line until you're about three games in. You know?
Right.
So, yeah.
And, again, remember, 24, Ole Miss, all in, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's back. Jackson Dart. Oh, my God. Man, this is going to be a good team. Kiffin and the player personnel guy that he took to LSU. Again, it's hard to knock them. They just built a team that went to the playoff, right?
Yeah.
But 24 was supposed to be that year, Shane. And a big reason why they didn't make it, because they misevaluated badly on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't get it done in 24 on the offensive line. So Again, I'm just saying, if LSU fails to live up to the hype, it's going to be because of this offensive line, I think.
Fair. Can't argue with you.
You shouldn't. Shouldn't even try.
We're still going to blame Lane Kiffin, but yeah.
And then how about this one, Chad? Again, I also tried to stay away from quarterback because I think that's an easy one.
Yeah.
But I kind of had to with Kentucky. You know, with Kenny Minchie, new offensive system, a retooled offense. I just don't know much about this guy. He's a backup from Notre Dame, right? And now he's in here at Kentucky. If we're not getting positive reports about Kenny Minchie, then maybe he'll just hit his stride in the summer, but it'll be stock up or stock down. Like maybe I'm just completely dead wrong. Maybe everybody's right, Shane. Kentucky, oh man, they might win 9 games this year. That's what they're telling me. Yeah. If we find out Minchie's amazing, maybe they're right. You know what?
Mm-hmm. Could be if Barnhart's around the facility a little less, you know. That may be your golden goose right there. I'm with you, quarterback, right? And for this to work, they gotta have it, you know. And oh man, that's a tough one too.
It just feels like at Kentucky, again, fair or not, you need a difference maker.
Yeah,
particularly early in a coach's career.
You know, and again, I'm not expecting much from Kentucky. I don't know what you got them at win-loss, you know, probability.
Like 4-8?
Yeah. So, but I'd love to see one or two games where we see it, right? Mm-hmm. We see a drive. We see a couple of quarters where we're like, you know what, man? We got the right guy. We just need the right pieces. And I feel like, you know, to do that, you've got to have some success in the quarterback room because that's what the fans want. They want explosive offensive plays. How many times have we watched a Kentucky game? We're like, have they even got one over 25 yards yet? You know, we don't want that. We want some explosive plays. We want a fun offense. So to do that, you got to have something in that quarterback room.
All right. How about for Mizzou, Shane? You got outstanding running game. You believe in your offensive line. I think they all believe in Austin Simmons. And if heck, if it's not him, they'll be like, man, Zollers, I knew it all along. But yeah, not only defense, but specifically because I like what they added at linebacker in the portal. I like some of the players they got back on the defensive line.
Yeah.
So I'm singling out the secondary where they lost some leadership. Mm-hmm. And basically everybody that started last year. So, but I think Missouri's defensive backs will be kind of something to keep your eye on this spring. If they impress during camp, I think it's stock up. If they don't, I think it's a little bit stock down.
Yeah. I think that's been the easiest one you've done right there. Right. Because I mean, we're all expecting a step back on the defensive side, but how big, right? And I feel like if it's not like, brother, I'm sold on this offense. And I get sucked in when these coaches talk and stuff. And I'm like, you know what? He's right. This is going to be a killer offense. And I'm like, come on. If we have something on that side of the football, Mizzou's right back into this thing. So I feel you, brother.
Are there any, as we've gone through here, any that I've not said that maybe stand out to you? Will you kind of be stock up or stock down from any of the other SEC teams?
Maybe Georgia, the offensive line. I felt like they did really good stuff last year, but I just feel like they got to get it going, man. Just, I mean, I want to see the push. I want to see some bully ball. And I feel like this roster has it. And we're not talking about near as much just because we're expecting Georgia to just be in the mix, just plug and play. But I feel like when I go back, some of the best Georgia football teams, they controlled both sides of the line of scrimmage. And more importantly, I feel like that offensive line, it's time for them to take. Now, if they don't, they take a step back, then I feel like Georgia's going to be the first out in the college football playoffs again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, another one we could clearly say offensive line for Auburn, they lost everybody on the offensive line, but
yeah,
with all the guys they've added via the transfer portal, I believe they are third or fourth most. Remember, I did that offensive line snaps career wise. So they got a lot of experience. They got a couple of guys from South Florida, and this we have seen it under Heupel, Kiffin, and I think you could even argue Jeff Lebby. You know, they all run a similar, not exactly the same, but similar offense that Golish is going to run. It's almost like the offense really helps the offensive line, if that makes it. The scheme helps the offensive line to where you don't necessarily need the maroon goons up there to be an effective offense. Does that make sense?
So it does.
I kind of do lean Auburn for offensive line, but maybe there's a different one for you.
What about A&M? Well, you got anything for them? What do you think? Just Marcel being consistent?
Yeah, you nailed it. I think it's all about Marcel. The NFL Combine. They're all raving up there about Casey Concepcion, as they should. He was such a great player.
Yeah.
How does Marcel look without Concepcion? I know that Craver's back. I know they've added Horton. So it's not like they're devoid of talent, but only one returning offensive lineman there as well. So I think it's more on Marcel Reed's shoulders to kind of carry the offense this year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm right there with you, cuz.
But again, it's hard to evaluate that because, you know, they're not going to be hitting them.
Yeah.
They're probably not going to give them any exotic looks. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't know that we're going to be getting much from him in spring, if that makes sense. But maybe even offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
That could be one for A&M. I know that's a little different. We're talking players, but that's going to be huge, I think, for Texas A&M.
Do you get a lot of exotic looks? I know I do. Usually, like, small kids are like, oh, my God, look at this. Mom, look at this kid.
You love when I say exotic looks. Every time for the past 3 years.
I completely zone out. I'm like, oh.
And again, offensive line maybe for Texas, but anything else stand out for you?
Special teams, you know. Just got to make sure we get all those extra points in. But we got Coach Stoops for that now.
Make sure the punter's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Just the small details, right?
I saw some guy. I wish I could give him a credit. I just don't remember. I think he was one of the Yon Texas guys. And I'm not even, you know, I'm not trying to make fun of him or anything because he knows more about Texas than I do, I'm sure. But it was funny where he said, you know, I think there's about, and I think the number was 27. He listed them all. He's like, I think about how many Texas guys could be at the NFL Combine next year. And keep in mind, you know, A&M's got 13 and they're leading the country. Could you imagine 27 guys at the Combine?
Oh, wouldn't it be something, right? I mean, this is the ultimate. Is it? Can Indiana happen in Austin? You know,
they just moved the Combine down to Texas. You know what?
I bet. Do you think they called Coach and just, you know, just curious if you're, we'll make room for you down here.
If you got 27 players that go to the Combine, you don't make the playoff. What's going to happen there?
You're fired. So that's like me playing video games. When you have 27 5-stars coming to your school. Jeez Louise, come on, Dale.
Any for Bama stand out to you? A position group stock that'll stock up or stock down?
It's quarterback. We're going to have a quarterback competition coming in here. I'm looking forward to spring reports coming from DeBoer and, you know, just kind of what the beat writers are saying down there, just the pulse of the program. A lot of people aren't talking about the Tide. They should be. But, I mean, you talk about a stock going up real quick if they do pick the right guy, if they do have something special in that quarterback room, then Alabama's right back in the mix, brother.
Steven Upps' O-line, new offensive line coach, replacing a lot there.
Yeah.
Man, isn't it rough? It's like you got a quarterback competition. You got uncertainty at offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two positions I don't want to be uncertain at. You know what?
Yeah, I know, but you're at Alabama, right? I can't feel bad for you. Suck it up. You got it.
All right, hey, buddy, I want to give a shout-out to all these great cousins that have donated.
Yeah, so they can get their money back.
Speaking of Steven up, here's so that, he was the first one. We got Joel C over there, easy money, clock me. We got Bulldog Mississippi with the five gifts. We'll get to that in just a second. We got Jared with the donation. Appreciate you. Liquid. Shout out Liquid. cousin Derek Cole. He's all in on it. Mike Andrews. And the Growing Mindset. We got him with Billy Napier there. And we got Jared with the donation. So
remember those. You each get $100 if I don't have 12 miles in by next Thursday night at midnight.
Yeah, so you might as well just send that money now, Shane.
Now I got a little skin in the game. I may need to get out here and start working toward this goal.
Yeah.
I hear the cousins. They say, and I probably lose weight if I do these 12 miles, so I may try it out.
Yeah, that's...
Is that how it works? Damn, this whole time.
What if you just didn't know that? That's what.
Yeah. No, I just thought this little 8-minute abs of steel video was going to do something. But
hey, shout out to all the cousins, Shane, that Bulldog Mississippi gifted. Luca Brazel, American Trash, cool name. Hank Hill's Narrow Urethra, that's another good one. Cocky Ruin and Austin Wilson. And then we got Jared.
Thank you, cuz.
He gifted a membership to Only 10IC.
Hey!
Welcome
to the family.
All right.
All right. Thank you, guys. Absolutely. Hey, on Cousin Shane YouTube channel, go ahead and give that a quick follow. Got me a new Birdie or Bogey episode. Does he get it? We'll find out. So thank you for the thumbs up. Thank you for the support, cuz. Tonight's shout outs go to Steven Up, Joel Shee. Is that how you say that?
Mm-hmm.
I can't. Well, here, let's bring it up here. My eyes ain't like they used to be. Bulldog Mississippi, Jay Addison, Liquid Flames, Derek Cole, Mike Andrews, and Growth Mindset. Thank you all for being a cousin. Thank you all. Thank you, JP. I appreciate you. And I look forward to seeing y'all tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.